Join us for the Ag PhD Field Day, Thursday, July 29th on our farm near Baltic, South Dakota. I'm Darren Hefty. We're putting on a full day that you won't want to miss. Yield champs will share about raising yields and profits. Industry experts will discuss drainage law, estate planning, grain marketing, and the H2A program. Plus, we'll show you dozens of research plots and have equipment running out in the field from Case IH, John Deere, AGCO, and more. Don't miss the free Ag PhD Field Day. Register now at agphd.com.
Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Going to be heading up north, actually a little bit to the east for me because I got to get across the river. Bringing my friend Rake Volvog, who's up in Pennington County. You're still at the farm yet, Ray, aren't you?
I'm sitting on a 5-gallon pail right now, trying to stay out of the wind so you guys can hear me.
That is fantastic. We greatly appreciate that's the radio side of Ray there. So, well,
No problem.
You know, it's been a few weeks since you and I have had a chance to talk about agriculture, and it wasn't on the radio. It was just talking between us. And at that time, I know you were praying for some rain. Has anything kind of lightened up there? Have you caught any of these kind of popcorn thunderstorms?
Well, you know me, Eric. You know my cliche, and that would be no, nothing, zero.
Jeez. Okay, well, how are the crops looking? We kind of run through, because I know you're soybean and corn guy, and I can't remember if you have some wheat or not.
Well, yeah, I'll give you a quick rundown, and I'm glad we're talking today, because I don't have any wheat and barley, but some of that's being taken off today. Some of the neighbors just on some of my rented ground. And believe it or not, the barley up here, which is real good quality, is running 80 bushel. I mean, it's, you know, it's not fantastic, but that's pretty good. And the wheat so far, just, you know, from a few samples from a few of the guys, 50, maybe 55 bushel, something like that.
Okay. Wow. Oh, I do know just a few weeks ago I was at one of the drought meetings in Minnesota, and it was a farmer from Roseau, and he said he pretty much could just take a match and drop it on the field and his crop would have just burned up. So obviously you have not been that dry.
No, well, because here's the situation. You know, the fellas that got their butts in gear and got their stuff in that first week of April, those guys are benefiting from that early bird catches the worm. So if you were a little bit tardy for whatever reason, and I'm just, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. you could have had a different situation other than, you know, weather or whatever. Those are the guys where, yeah, you could take a match. No, don't get me wrong. It is dry as a bone. I'm staring at my, I'm at my dad's. I'm staring at his front lawn. He's got a big lawn, probably an acre. And I've never, you know, I'm in my 50s, Eric. I have never seen it pure brown like this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it harkens me back to the 80s. I mean, that's the time frame that I think of where it's been hot. Like,
yeah,
this.
It's interesting that I think of that too. But, you know, I was, you know, back then, you know, you're in your, at least for me, you know, 20 years old or early 20s, whatever. And I still don't remember where it was absolutely this dry. And as I look out at, I drove by some of my soybean fields. It's funny. I mean, they're still green. The plants are green and that, but you can see where, you know, you might have a little sandy spot in the soil where the beans are completely just curled up and flipped over. I mean, it's crazy.
Okay. So you're flowering and all that stuff, though? I mean, the soybeans are progressing?
Oh, yeah. There are even a few
setting pods.
Plants trying to put some pods out there. Yeah. But I just don't know where they're gonna grab any moisture to make any beans in there. Okay. I mean, it truly is. They're devastating. I'm really... a little bit frustrated too with, I guess, you know, the federal government. I'm looking at some CRP fields as I came up, and you know, some of that grass, you know, which people want to cut for hay or if you want to pasture it, whatnot. I mean, it's turning brown.
Yeah. Well, that's the big crux of the whole thing is that, you know, the request went in from North Dakota. I'm not sure where the request is from Minnesota, but it's going to get turned down. But for the early haying, especially in the kind of the wetland areas, because they're afraid of disturbing a pheasant or a duck, and you hit it right on the head. It's not like the, you know, agriculture is not feeling of that, but if they wait too long, a lot of that feed is just not going to have the quality anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Good point, Eric. And, you know, I get frustrated, and you know me on politics, I do lean a little right, but I got to beat up on all of the guys this time. I mean, I've heard Senator Kramer talk about the fact, well, you know, the Ag Secretary, Vilsack, doesn't think, you know, legally he can do this. That's a bunch of crap. come on, you just talked about it. Where, I mean, don't these politicians go back and look at the history? We've hayed before the nesting season was done. We've been haying at the in July many times when there's been drought situations. Hey, 1988, I was alive, it happened, and it wasn't in August. So this idea that Vilsack cannot release this CRP for early haying or grazing is a bunch of crap, and I think all our politicians, both sides of the aisle, they should be ashamed for not sitting at Vilsack's doorstep saying, look, just because the Eastern Corn Belt has rain doesn't mean that the rest of the country isn't in a severe drought situation and they need some help, especially these guys with critters. And, you know, I've got a few critters, and so... I mean, I can speak to that. It's devastating. Bagley Livestock in northern Minnesota is having to open up early and have extended hours for the simple fact here they've got too many cattle coming in, and so they need more time to sell. That's how bad it is. It's a disaster. It truly is.
And I've heard from some friends that do raise some livestock, and they run some livestock. They've thought about paring down, but they said the prices that they have seen is down about 20-30%, and so they right now they'd rather hold on to the cattle instead of taking a loss.
Yeah, well, whoever gave me that comment, that's exactly spot on. If you look at the sales, of course, it's old supply and demand. Of course, you've got this huge flush of critters coming in, so you got too many animals for too few buyers. If you're fortunate enough to be able to figure out and hang on, yeah, by next spring, you bet, things are going to be much, much better in terms of prices. But, you know, an animal's not like, you know, corn in the field or wheat in the field. You got to feed and water these critters. And if you just don't have access to forage or water or whatever, I mean, you got to let them go. Unfortunately, it's not a good business decision. But what can you do? So you can't blame the farmer or rancher. And the consumers better get on board on this, because I'm here to tell you, by next year, you're going to see these higher beef prices reflected big time. They're already up a little bit, but big time, even in the grocery store.
Well, we've got a chain here in the metro that is selling sirloin steaks, or at least was last week, for $20.99 a pound. And I felt like I was back of March of last year in the COVID thing. I'm like, I just won't do it. I love steak, but I'm not going to pay that kind of price for a sirloin steak. Now, I mean, that's an upper level steak, but a lot of the beef right now is high. And I look at it as like, again, I guess the supply issue is there. Are they just not getting enough steak or whatever it happens to be? But I sure know that the livestock places have been selling cattle, and there's no shortage there, and people have been losing money. So I'm not sure the...
Yeah, it's all... It's the producers losing out on this. The guys in the middle again are making, but again, very good point is, you know, and I know we talk in this show about, you know, because it's a farm show, we talk about the farmer, but it's going to come back to the consumer. And if we think things are high now, it's going to get really bad. That's why you got to champion the farmer and the rancher on these things, because we all got to eat. I mean, that's the reason that we need support, and we got to do what we can to help fellas out when it's times like this. And then, you know, you're back to the guys that have spent their whole life building up herds, and it's tough to, you know, to sell off and try to rebuild. So it's really bad.
Yeah. Now, I want to catch you real quick. I know that, Ray, you obviously farm up with your dad up in the Thief River Falls area, and you do own farmland. That's one of the other things over the years that you've collected or bought into. So you've got farmland, a good chunk of Minnesota, North Dakota. I think you have some in South Dakota as well, and you do a lot of rental. So who's basically got it the worst? Because I know you keep in communication quite a bit. Is there any particular area? Is it North Dakota that the people that you rent to is maybe having the toughest time with this drought?
Gosh, I got to say, for the first time in my life, Eric, and I make a good point. My wife says I'm a hoarder of land, so yeah, but it's
you
better
are.
At least my garages. Well, my garages are full of snowmobiles, so I got to be quiet on that. But I got to tell you, I mean, right up here in this northwest corner, and you talked about a fellow from Roseau, I mean, it's about as rough as any place. Now, my guys down in southeastern Minnesota, and even in southwest, believe it or not, doing pretty darn good. Crops are okay. So if you get in, you know, Zumbrota, Wanamingo, Rochester, in the southeast, pretty darn good. You flip way over to the southwestern part, like Marshall, Minnesota, pretty darn good. They caught some rains. So I would have to say, to answer your question specifically, in Minnesota, right up in my neck of the woods, of course, even my stuff in South Moorhead is tough, but not as tough as in northwest Minnesota. Yeah, and then you got to go west. You got to go to North Dakota. There's, of course, a few patches that are okay, but for the most part, pretty rough.
Okay. Very good. Beyond that, I guess that's all the time I have for, unfortunately. I always love talking to you, and I got 1,000 things to ask you about. Next time, I'll have to get an update on your solar panel project on farmland.
We can talk solar and maybe talk a little bit about marketing prices and where stuff is going, because everybody, hey, if you're a farmer, you're interested in two things: yield and price.
Yep, absolutely. Anyway, commodity prices are doing pretty good.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Not a problem. Ray Kvalvog, thank you. We'll check in again with Ray, I'm sure, down the road somewhere. Again, farms up in the Thief River Falls area, but it has a lot of farmland around the region.